Hello, and this is Marketing 101. Welcome to the podcast. We'll start in a few seconds. All right, welcome to my first podcast. I'm Chelsea Armstrong. You've probably never heard of me, and that's totally fine. This podcast is really going to be devoted towards marketing and marketing stuff that's going on and that kind of thing in the industry. So when I was doing my research and trying to figure out what exactly to discuss, one of the things that I learned about was sensory marketing. And I'm not going to lie, I found it pretty fascinating. So for my first podcast, I'm actually having my friend Mallory come and join.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, and she and I are just going to be discussing it because two is better than one. And we're going to be chatting about sensory marketing and what it is and what we think of it and how we think that can contribute into actual retail today and that kind of thing. So you know nothing about sensory marketing, right? You have no idea.
I have a little bit based on reading
your
blog.
Okay, what
article.
Do you know?
That it's kind of using different senses, such as like hearing or smelling, to market to customers. So in the place of retail, such as like we had... Chelsea and I were discussing Starbucks, for example.
Yes.
And how Starbucks specifically uses the smell of your coffee to be like, ooh, let's get people to buy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you pretty much nailed it on the head. That's what sensory marketing is. It is using the five senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, and feeling to really just market towards customers and give them that really unique experience. So my current job is working for the LVMA. And they focus on location-based marketing. And so one of the big things that we talk about with sensory marketing is how does that tie into location? How is that really significant to what's going on? And to that, I say, what you really need is a unique location designed a special way and then incorporate the senses to really make it a very memorable experience so that customers who go there know that they can only get that experience at that place.
So I was telling Chelsea that I used to work for McDonald's, and every single night I would come home and smell that smell. And because I worked there for so long, the smell of McDonald's constantly lingers. So if I'm walking past a McDonald's in 2 seconds flat, I will smell and be like, I am at McDonald's. There is a McDonald's around
yeah.
here. And that is sensory marketing.
Yeah, scent is actually one of the most powerful senses that we have, and it's linked heavily to memory, which is why when you have a smell, like you said, it can really affect and bring up a past experience that you had that you may not have even known.
100%. And honestly, I just thought about this right now, but Bath & Body Works does a great job at using sensory marketing
mm-hmm.
because that entire store is based off smell. You go in there, you'll smell your favorite scent. Sometimes you'll smell fruity. Sometimes it'll be a campfire. And there's one smell in particular, if you want me to tell a fun story. When I was younger, my grandma she re-gifted me this scent from Bath & Body Works called Moonlit Path. And to be honest, it's not my favorite scent. And it smells kind of like a scent that your grandmother
An old lady
wears.
We're not being mean to old ladies. We think they're lovely,
so
I get it.
I go into Bath & Body Works, and I go into Bath & Body Works, and I tell them, I was like, hey, can I please exchange this? It smells like old lady. And the person helping me, I kid you not, said, that is my favorite scent. And she was probably And
yeah.
I felt so awkward about it. And I thought one scent that I hated, someone else loved. And I thought it was crazy because every single person smells something different. So if you're smelling like a perfume or something, every single person interprets it different. So everyone can associate it with a different thing. So someone who likes Moonlit Path might not consider it a grandma smell and might not associate it. But
yeah. And scent is also like, if we're going to get biological with it, is really one of the key indicators that subconsciously draws you to certain people too as like potential mates because we are
you're like, oh, you smell good.
Yeah. And then they cover it with like cologne and you're like, well, okay.
And you smell Axe body spray.
Oh, no, not
Axe. School.
No, Axe is the worst.
But Axe is memorable because it's the worst.
Yes. Anyway, went on a tangent. That's fine. So one of the really cool things about scent marketing, for an example, is Burger King. And what Burger King did was they would use the smell of their cooking and they would actually purposefully waft it through their ventilation system so that when the customers entered the store, they would be overwhelmed with this sense and with the smell, which would cause them to be hungry, and they would be more inclined to purchase bigger meals and so on and so forth. And then in Japan, the scent did so well that they actually sold it for a limited time as a perfume.
I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want to smell like a burger.
Yeah, or I guess, no, it was a cologne because they were selling it to men, not to women, to men, because it was something about attracting, I don't even know, it was...
Ladies, do you want your man smelling like a tasty burger?
I particularly do not want my man smelling a tasty burger. I want my burger smelling my... Like burgers, not my man. Anyway, so
tell us, podcast listeners, would you buy cologne scented like Burger King? Yes or no?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that would be really. Could you imagine if they sold that in North America? Like I said, here is a scent that will help you get a spouse.
I mean, they've had...
Because that was the intention of the product, right? That's
yeah.
how they marketed it, was saying, like, use this scent to attract a woman.
I don't know, but I'm not attracted to men who smell like burgers. That's just me, though. Apparently, there could be people out there.
Apparently. So, okay. So, let's get into it. We've talked about scent a lot. Let's talk about sight. So, sight is essentially what you see and you like it. So, you have video walls, for example, which are, like... Let's take Niagara Fury, which gives you a 360 screen, and it makes you feel like you're actually in the falls and going over the falls rather than just being able to stand at, like, a balcony and look at them, right? Have you been to Niagara Fury?
I'm not 100% sure if I have.
It's relatively new. I think it was created, like, a couple of years ago, so it's pretty...
It's different than Journey Behind the Falls, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think I have.
Okay. Yeah. So... I guess the thing that I really liked about it was that whole experience. And they combined other things into it to make it more like you were actually interacting with the falls, like you were actually there. But the thing is they gave you such a different visual perspective and experience of the falls that you wouldn't get anywhere else, really. Right. Do you have any examples of, like, really exemplary visual marketing that you've seen?
Yes, actually, Chelsea and I commute to school, and our big hub is Union Station in Toronto, and there's been a couple pop-up events that we've
mm-hmm.
seen.
Yeah.
Especially the one I'll note is the Louis Vuitton one, the time capsule. So
mm-hmm.
I got a
yeah.
chance to go inside, and the whole thing is videos. So it's
mm-hmm.
opening the time capsule, it's showing how things were stitched, and you walk into this one room. I still have pictures of it on my phone. It's crazy. It's big video screens that show people opening the box and stitching the bags, and you see so many examples
wow.
of video. And it kind of surrounds you of all the different things that they have going on. And honestly, I just remember feeling like, I feel like I don't know anything about fashion, but like, this is cool.
Yeah, that does sound like it'd be pretty cool.
I think pop-ups that show a visual experience are definitely more appealing. Like, I went to one at the Eaton Center for Air Canada Rouge, and it was different little rooms that
mm-hmm.
all showed something about the new features of Air Canada Rouge. The one was like a fruit one, and it had all these little fruits on the thing for their collaboration with Freshie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one that was a red carpet, and it had like flashing cameras, and it was him. It pretended like you were on a red carpet, and all the paparazzi were flashing at you. So you walked
That's
down,
very
and
sweet.
It was like flash, 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 flash. It was very cool. I definitely thought
felt
it,
like a celebrity.
I
felt like a star.
So
yeah, I remember you and I, when we were walking, it was winter, and Lego had set up that giant visual thing, which was
yes.
so cool. So you went into, like, a little trailer, and you were given a little square, and you filled it with Lego pieces, and then every square was numbered.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they had the volunteers take it and put it on this giant Lego board.
Yeah.
And it was like, come help build this mural, and none of us really knew what it was going to look
like
until
okay,
after. Yeah, and you're thinking, okay, what can a tiny little piece do, right? But then once you put it all together, it's like this super cool, like, oh, I did not see
like
that coming.
It was like the CN Tower and all these really cool,
yeah, but like winter, yeah,
yeah, it was like a winter scene of the Toronto
mm-hmm.
CN Tower,
yeah.
And then like beavers
yeah.
and like cool things in Toronto. I remember, like, it shows you how you can be a part of something. A big puzzle.
Yeah.
And our little piece
for sure.
is like super insignificant. We were like, oh, okay,
yep.
like, what are we doing?
Yeah, but contributing and being a part of that
thing and being able to say, oh, I put one of those pieces on. I'm a part of that experience. And you get to like talk about it because that's a kind of thing that gets shared on social media, right?
Yeah.
And so you can say, I've contributed to it. I've done this. This is so cool. This is so great. Like at how awesome I am kind of thing.
It was like a traveling mural too. Like
yeah.
Had at Nathan Phillips Square. Remember they
no,
had
that was a different one.
Oh, was it a different one?
Yeah, they were different murals. So they had these pop-up stations go back and forth and they set them up and they were different murals.
It was very fun. We got to be children for 20 minutes and got
yeah.
to assemble our little Lego piece and it was very fun because
yes.
Chelsea and I had a completely different piece.
Yep.
And
yes.
Yeah, and then we got to go and the little volunteers mm-hmm. who were there actually hammered it into the wall. So we got to see like where we were, our little place, and everything was numbered. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I really like stuff like that because...
Mm-hmm.
Before I commuted to school, I went to Western University in London, and London's not fun. London didn't have anything like that, but a hub like Union Station has so much going on constantly. Like, there's every other weekend, it feels like there's a new pop-up station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so the final sense I want to talk about, like, I know that there's five. We're only going to talk about three because we don't have all the time in the world. So the last one is hearing or listening, and that's... What when people essentially take sounds that they can contribute to their brand, like McDonald's has that ba-da-ba-ba-ba, and every time you hear it, you know it's McDonald's, right? Like that's a thing that you've associated.
It's a grain in my brain.
It's a grain in your brain, exactly.
And it's media one.
Yeah.
It's never gonna get out of my head.
Yeah, there are some really catchy jingles for sure. And then you also have just basic sound marketing in which when the music that you play in your store evokes a certain kind of mood or emotion
yes.
from your customers, right?
You're working in retail. I see this a lot.
Yeah.
I work at Indigo, and Indigo has a special curated playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturdays when it's really busy and there's lots of families, there's more modern music and it's more like hyper music because that's the time when people are shopping. So it's like keeping them motivated. But other times when you're shopping in the store, it's very... low music, kind of like chill, lounge kind of type.
Yeah.
So depending on the day and depending when you're in store, it's different. And I've been in the store a couple of times before it opens and they have hype music for everybody who puts it all the stuff away. And sometimes you'll just randomly hear like Mihan tapes go off and you're like, why is this playing in the go? It's for all the people who put everything on the shelf so they can stay awake at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I would, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And the company has prepared for this, which is great.
Yeah. I think that's one of the really cool things is that how influential these playlists are and you don't really recognize them in like kind of slowly influencing you as you shop and as you go around to be more inclined to purchasing their products.
It's interesting versus an employee, being an employee of a store and then being a customer of a store. When I'm an employee, I find that the music gets tiring sometimes because it's the same music, it's the same songs, and they're always circled, and it's like,
yep.
Oh my God, I'm hearing this song for the 100th time, but I still associate that music with Indigo, and like, I think of Indigo, and I'm like, wow, look at that song, it's just playing, like, that's the Indigo song, like, this is here,
yeah.
Or like McDonald's, remember when it was Christmas, they had a Christmas playlist, and I remember hearing Mistletoe by Justin Bieber, and I was like, this is getting me in the Christmas mood, it was great.
Yeah. Yep.
Music is really good for that, and it's crazy how... I didn't even know this was called sensory marketing until Chelsea wrote an article about it. And then I was like, let's talk about this.
Yeah. When I was, one of my favorite bands released a meditation album. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And it's called Flow State. So I started listening to it. And just the immediate relaxation I felt as it went through. Like, it has 17 songs on the album. And they just flow into one another. And, like, they don't stop. And it was just such a kind of soothing thing that really was just able to make me relax. And I was like, oh, yay. And then when I was following them on social media, they would actually do giant yoga sessions
wow.
on like rooftops and that kind of thing
with
their meditation album. And I'm like, that's amazing. I don't kind of want
to
go to one of
those. That's a great way to market your album. Be like,
yeah.
By the way, the sounds you heard doing yoga today can be
yeah.
found on Spotify.
Yeah. And it makes sense for them because their brand is trance music, right?
Yeah.
So to have that meditation album and to have trance, which is usually a peaceful genre,
yeah.
is really beneficial for them. And they utilized it and turned it into something that works.
Yeah.
Right. So when you hear it, you're like, oh, yay. I know who they are and I can chill because it's great.
It makes me think of Spotify too, how they have
mm-hmm.
different curated playlists based
yeah.
on your mood.
Yeah.
So there's like a sunny playlist, there's a chill playlist, and people literally get paid to make playlists for a living. Like that sounds like the funnest job.
But you have to really know your artists and music.
You really do.
You really gotta know. And you gotta know the library too. That's another big thing.
Yeah. You gotta know definitely what can be placed and what can go after another and what's going to overwhelm people who listen to it one by one or mm-hmm. people who shuffle and how's the vibe going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are coming to a close.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Thanks for joining me.
No worries.
On my first podcast. Yeah, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And
I hope you learned something about sensory marketing.
Yeah, and if you have any other avenues and if you have experiences with this kind of marketing, comment, share. Like, we want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on. So, yeah. And if you have any topics that you want me to cover and research and look into for you, let me know. All right.
Make sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah. See you later. Bye. We'll